How did you first find out about the story of Euler, and what made you want to report on it for Marketplace?
Well, I was covering education for Marketplace, which is a business and economics show, and was really interested in the intersections between education and poverty. Because as I'm sure you know, there is a huge achievement gap in our country between kids growing up in low-income families and wealthier students. And about half of the kids in our public schools today do come from families that are considered low-income. So it's a huge problem. So I was doing some research and heard that Cincinnati was doing some innovative things to tackle poverty in the city. And one of the things it was doing was creating these so-called community learning centers, which is a term for a community school that provides services beyond academic services inside the school. And I found out about this school called Euler, and it was intriguing for a lot of reasons. So Euler is in a neighborhood in Cincinnati that is known as Urban Appalachian, which means that after World War II, a lot of families migrated from the coal mining towns of West Virginia and Kentucky and Tennessee to various Rust Belt cities looking for jobs. Cincinnati was one of those cities. And so this neighborhood became kind of an enclave for these urban Appalachian people, though it's changed a lot over the years. So it was largely a white community and very poor. And the local school only went to eighth grade until almost 10 years ago. And after eighth grade, pretty much every kid, with a few exceptions, just dropped out of school rather than take the bus to a neighborhood outside of Lower Price Hill, this neighborhood in Cincinnati. And so when Cincinnati decided to create these community learning centers, they took the idea to this community and said, you know, what if we offer you all these services? You can have a health clinic, you can have counselors, you can have whatever you want. They said, well, what we really want is a high school because our kids are dropping out. So Euler became a preschool through 12th grade school. It now has a health clinic, a vision center that looks basically like a lens crafter's inside of a school. They've got a food bank, so kids eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and also take food home on weekends. There are mental health counselors, mentors for every senior to try to get them to graduate, just all kinds of services that you normally wouldn't find inside a school. So I did one story for Marketplace, that I quickly realized that wasn't enough, and I got kind of hooked on the idea and decided it should be a documentary film.
Principal Craig Hockenberry, he reminds me in a lot of ways of Joe Clark, who was the tough love principal who carried the baseball bat around, and he was portrayed in the movie Lean on Me in 1989. When I was watching the trailer on your Kickstarter page, I was thinking about these individuals who seem to be such driving forces in the kinds of changes that happen. Like he goes out walking through the neighborhood and actually, you know, tells kids to get to school who are skipping and actually interacts as much with the community as he does with the school. I guess one of the things I was thinking about him is, what would happen to these students or the school and the community if he was gone? How much of what's going on at Euler is driven by these programs, and how much of it is really driven by Hockenberry's personality?
Well, that's a question we took on very directly in the film. I don't want to give too much away about what happens, but that became a very real question. Would this model, would this school survive without this dynamic leader who's been there for 14 years? And that's a question I'm not sure how to answer. I mean, the school is continuing to thrive in some ways, but, you know, this engaging leader knows everyone in the neighborhood. He, as you said, he patrols the neighborhood. He even would pull kids out of bed to get them to school, and over time really gained the trust of this community that he wasn't really a part of. And, you know, can it work without that? I think the people who believe in this community school model would say, yes, I mean, you need a committed and inspired leader, but the services themselves, they consider them to be very valuable. But I think that's a really good question, because you have to have someone that gets community buy-in for it really to work. And I think any school like Euler will need a Craig Hockenberry of sorts at the helm.
Tell me about Raven Gribbins, the young female basketball player who becomes a central character in the documentary. What drew you to her?
Well, you know, casting was difficult. I set about, basically, I convinced Marketplace to let me do a year-long radio series and at the same time shoot a documentary film, you know, mostly on my own dime. So I had sort of this dual mission going into the school, and I was looking for characters. But, you know, the families are naturally suspicious of outsiders, and you can't just go in there with a microphone and pick a student. You need the parents' permission to tape a minor. So the principal, Craig Hockenberry, identified a handful of students that he thought might be good candidates. And I started out sort of following three students, and the other two are in the film to some degree. But Raven really stood out to me as someone who really came from generational poverty. Her father and her grandparents all went to Euler, and none of them graduated. And so she was going to be the first in her family to finish high school. She had her eye on college and had really turned herself around in the space of a few years. She'd been getting in a lot of fights. She, you know, talked back to her teachers, and she, you know, sort of all signs pointed to repeating her parents' mistakes. And also it came down to a question of access. She was into it. You know, she let me into her home. She liked being interviewed. I think she liked the spotlight a little bit. So I ended up sticking with Raven throughout the year and actually continued to follow her for Marketplace the next year after she graduated. So Raven and I are still in touch.
Having reported on education for many years for Marketplace, why do you think it's so hard for the United States, which is the most affluent society really in the history of the world, to solve this problem of educating the poor at this point in history? And is there something inherent in the system that's preventing education from becoming more just?
There's a huge debate in the country that seems to boil down to, on one side, the no excuses people who say poverty is not an excuse for our children to not be succeeding in school. They need veteran teachers in front of them. They need excellent curriculum. And all that, of course, has to be true. But on the other hand, the teachers that I spoke to at Euler talk about the severe conditions these children are growing up in. I think teachers rightly say, how can we be on the hook for standardized test scores when we've got this kind of poverty and these kinds of obstacles? So I came away feeling that the idea that you have to treat poverty itself in order to help poor kids succeed is pretty compelling.